whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same water kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition from God the men. But the Lord, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is not suffering to us who are not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements are met with violent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person such it should be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall be met with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spoil and blemish. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are land and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also be led away with error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to whom be glory both now and forever. Amen. Put on place, sit down. While we read Revelation 21, from verse 1 to 7. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as the bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And said unto me, write, for this words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. The Lord bless the reading of his word to all of us. So God bless you. We'll continue with our Sunday school lesson, the future hope of the heavenly bridegroom and the heavenly bride. We have gone a long way. We should have moved forward at least, in that I've made a journey for 3 weeks. The one I traveled to, that of last Sunday. But anyhow, what's most important is for us to get the purpose of the sermon. And the purpose of the sermon is to get us to understand that there is coming, God has a program for his redeemed. He has a program of redemption for his people. And he has a place where he has gone to prepare. And after that preparation, he will place them in that place to live with him eternally. Praise be to God. If a man catches the revelation of this future room, then every other thing here becomes nothing to you. The other time I remember I preached on a sermon, hope that prepares to godly living. Hope that prepares us to live godly life. The hope that is set for us. If it is a living hope, if it is a revelation from God, then it will propel us to live godly living. When you have a hope of this kingdom that we are talking about, it drives you to want to live a life that pleases God. And if you are at a state where you know that you are not capable of living according to the word of God, then you cry out to him. Praise be to God. So the prophet is calling our attention in this sermon that yes, there is coming a future home, the first question which will land on this path, where the redeemed will live eternally with their God. And if that is the case, then the prophet told us that God has a plan, has a process, that the prepared place is for a prepared people. And that prepared place, which is the first question, which Jesus Christ said that, behold, I believe in God and believe also in me, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. That's the first question. And that's the future hope. That place is the prepared place. And it is for a prepared people. And these people that are prepared through a process of justification, of sanctification, and Holy Ghost baptism. And that what qualifies them to be inhabitants of that first curse. And that's what we have been looking. Because it benefits me, it benefits you to hear the story of first curse and you don't know the process that will take you there. And that's why the prophet took a lot of time to emphasize the three stages. Don't get bored about the three stages. And you are to have discernment of yourself as we try to repeat these stages. The sense of it is for you to see the characteristics and then look at your life in the light of what is said. If I am lacking in one place, it's not to hide you or to try to justify myself. It's never that when you do that, you box yourself to a corner. And when you box yourself to a corner, you can never be helped by God. Because God can only help those who cannot help themselves. Praise be to God. Don't take your private interpretation. Don't take your understanding. Place your life upon the Urim-Tumim of God, which is the revealed word to me, interpreted by William Aaron Graham. In today, in this last church age, the understanding of the scripture that we have was brought to us by William Lane Abraham. There are specific scriptures that are fulfilled today, and we got to know him through his interpretation of those scriptures. When God brings his work to pass, that's the interpretation of that word. But why do you come to know it? That's the interpretation. It is because someone that God has raised up to interpret it has reinterpreted it. This scripture is fulfilled like this. This scripture is fulfilled like this. When you see this, this is the scripture that is fulfilled. I've been predestinated, you see it. Because it's not everybody that can see it. And so that's why it's a great privilege to be in the circle where the truth of the word is preached. It's a great privilege. Because that's an atmosphere. Atmosphere that can bring to pass
every predestinated seed of God.
May God be our helper. So we continue this morning, going through sanctification. We have said so much about justification, but I'd like to say one more word as we move forward again to justification. The prophet in paragraph 161 of Future Home
has this to say.
He said, but you see, as justification, as you Baptists and Methodists want to think of it, just justification, believing and being baptized, that is not enough. You will wander right back into the things of the world and pop your ear and wear shorts and everything else. See, there is nothing happening here. You just look back and see you done wrong. What did justification do to the world? Never done a thing to it. Started right off again, just as much sin as it ever was. That is the way a man does, and that is all the further he can go. When a man is at the stage of justification, if he settles there, that is his experience. His nature is not changed. Everything written in the scripture pertaining to Adamic nature manifests in the life of that man. I don't care how he's going to interpret it. But when he's sanctified, he's cleansed. That snake that is responsible for that is taken away from him, as spoken by the prophet. And when that is taken away from him, he's set aside for service. He's not yet filled with the Holy Spirit, and he's not yet in service. He's not a true worshiper. He's not connected with God. It takes the baptism of the Holy Spirit to connect him, because that's the heart of God. If you buy a phone and you don't put a SIM in it, you only carry a phone in your hand. You can't do nothing with it. When I say if I don't have SIM in it, I can connect with Wi-Fi and rest of it, where I can get this. But as in that phone serving the very purpose, the personal, you are not connected. Where are you going to get SIM if you don't connect with another Wi-Fi? It is the Wi-Fi you are going to use, because they are connected to the main. So the benefit of a man, you see that, you see, we can pick something from there. A man that is filled with the Holy Spirit is a blessing to the man that is not filled with the Holy Spirit. So a man that is not filled with the Holy Spirit will tap from the man that is filled with the Holy Spirit. And that is how the church is sustained. So one must be filled with the Holy Spirit to impact on others. So if you are not connected, you cannot receive a call. You will be disconnected from communication, from relevant information that you need. You will be disconnected. You will live in darkness. You will go right and face danger when you're supposed to escape it. Because you are not connected to the source of information. So a man that is at sanctification, it's not good yet, the prophet told us. And the prophet made us know it's a dangerous stage also to tarry. May the Lord be our help. All right. We move forward. The future of home. I read paragraph 360. Let me see. From 96. The man can repent of sins and is still thinking, well, maybe he's an immoral man. Every immoral looking woman he finds is still there. Maybe he's a drunkard. Every time he smells the drink, he's still there. See? That's because of the Adamic nature that has not changed. But then, when he gets sanctified, that cleanses that desire out of him.
Is it there?
Yeah. Out of him. See, he takes the want of it away, he can still be tempted and fall. A man that is filled with the Holy Spirit too can still be tempted, but he cannot fall. But greater is he that is in him than the devil that is in the world. He is given the Holy Spirit to be a perpetual overcomer, to be a permanent overcomer. Because it's the Holy Spirit, the master, the father of all spirit, that is dwelling in him.
That is
the message of the hour. That the Spirit of God dwells in a man, put the life of God in the man. I describe it in a simple term to people. If you carry this is in change, and you put it in Volkswagen, hold Volkswagen.
How many of us know Volkswagen? Hold
Volkswagen.
B2.
Check. There was a wonderful guy in his time,
but has served his own time.
You carry this engine, more than this engine, with electric gear, and you put it inside. You fix it in there. And you carry the engine of the Volkswagen and put it in the business bank. Put the gear of the Volkswagen, fix everything in there. There's a change to that. There's a change to that, isn't it? And there's a change to that visit. The life of the visit will be lived by what that book. The speed of the visit is what that book will show you.
It will run the speed of the visit,
and the visit will run the speed of Volkswagen. I think it is 80. That is the highest speed of Volkswagen.
If I remember.
Is it?
Because my brother had one. Yeah, I know. Pastor had two.
Volkswagen. When the life of God comes into a man, it is like taking the business and putting it in the Benz. I mean, in the Volkswagen. The body physically does not change. It doesn't get fatter. It doesn't get slimmer. It doesn't get taller. It doesn't get shorter.
The man remains the same.
The prophet used this time to tell us that this same heart to remain the way it is, even when it receives water baptism, when it receives sanctification, and when water will come in there, the frame remains the same.
Your frame remains the same.
Your skeletal system does not get aligned in a certain way
because you have filled the Holy Spirit, you now begin to work like this. Or before you fill the Holy Spirit, you become taller.
No. It's the same short mind, why? The same tall mind, the same fat mind, the same slim mind. It's the same light person, it's the same dark person. With the different there is the spirit of the living God. Which, now, ordinarily, the Volkswagen cannot run the speed of the business engine until the business engine comes in there.
May God give us understanding.
But when he gets sanctified, that cleansing is ahead of him. See, it takes the want of it away. He can still be tempted, but it takes the want of it away. See, he is not right
yet.
It's not right. But it's a wonderful brother. It's not right yet. Then he is baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire, cleansed, burn out, clean up, and then put into the service of God.
That's what the Holy Spirit does.
Sanctify, sanctification only set them aside
for service.
The prophet used the example of when somebody goes to pastor and he sees a cock in the manual pie,
he picks it. That justifies it. And then takes it to the house, put it in the wash tub, put soap and sponge,
and clean it inside out.
And then put it on the dining table.
That's sanctification. He wants to use it. So by the time he now takes his jar of water, whether cold or hot, whether I want to use it for tea or to drink cold water, and he pours it in there, then he has put that cup into use,
into service.
That's when the Holy Spirit comes into a person. Until then, he set aside for service. He is not a worthy person to serve God yet, until the Holy Spirit comes in. That's why the prophet said a man should never mount the pulpit until he speak with the Holy Ghost.
He said a man should never partake of the Holy Communion until he speak with the Holy Spirit.
And notice just according exactly how that came. The message coming, Martin Luther, justification, John Wesley, sanctification, the Pentecostal, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the messages. That's where there can be no more ages of it, see? We are at the end time. Three stages. Baptism cleanses the heart with the Holy Spirit.
That is Holy Ghost baptism, not water baptism.
How striking now. It takes the place where we are dwelling through the same process. That's this act. Now, it's called the church through justification, called it through sanctification, then filled it with the Holy Ghost and fire, and he took it through the process that he himself, the Holy Spirit himself, the Son of God, could dwell in the human heart. Now, it has to go through that before he can come into it.
It has to go through justification and sanctification. Notice,
he done the work where that bride is going to live in the same way. His plan of salvation. Paragraph 360. Now, the soul is redeemed because it was a sin. So God came down by a process of justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and redeemed your souls. And you, being part of the earth, is redeemed by it. You are in the process now. It's growing on. Your body was justified under Noah's baptism. Amen. And your flesh, when it dropped, when it, that's the blood, dropped upon it. And the heart is to be cleansed by fire. The place where you will live with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, a dwelling place for Christ and his bride, New Jerusalem. It's water baptism, 4:7-2. Please. It's water baptism wasn't sufficient to cleanse it. Neither is there sanctification of the blood. Brought it back, claim it. But the baptism of fire cleansed it like it did his bride. Like justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Spirit. Never promised to raise up a new race, as I said, but he promised to redeem the fallen. And that is the state that he has chosen to redeem the fallen. He did not promise to raise a new race. Adam's race fell. And God has a plan of redemption in place, even before the fall came. Praise be to God. Then that were predestinated inherited as he has promised. And he is the unchanging God.
We know that.
We want to look at the state of a man who is sanctified and not filled with the Holy Ghost. Now,
the prophet gives us this understanding when he was interpreting 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. Told us that he gave us application of those things. That a man, there are three that bear record. For there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And when the prophet was going to interpret that
as the interpreter of the Word, the messenger to the age. You and I can do it. Even a minor prophet has no right to do that. And he told us that these three are one. He said it means that you cannot have the Father without having the Son. Neither can you have the Son without having the Holy Spirit, because they are one. He said, but there are three that bear record of that. He said, they agree in one. And there are three that bear witness in her, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree. On the prophet said they are not one. He said the water, which is baptism, the blood, which is sanctification, justification, sanctification, and Holy Ghost baptism. The prophet said, because they are not one, they agree in one, he said you can be justified and not be sanctified. And he said, you can be justified and be sanctified and not be filled with the Holy Spirit. Is that because they only agree in one, they are not one? You cannot, not automatically that you are justified, you will be sanctified and you be filled with the Holy Spirit. It takes the elect to complete the process. May the Lord be our help. Here, we see paragraph, how can I overcome? Paragraph 44. We see this age that we are living in. It is one of the grandest ages of all ages. This Laodicean church age is the grandest of all the church ages because it is the ending of time and the blending of eternity. Very soon, soon and very soon, we are going to see our Lord. And the people that we see him are the people that have gone through this process. That God has worked upon. He has truly justified. He has truly sanctified and filled them with the Holy Spirit. And then it is the greatest sinful age. It is more sin in this age than there has ever been. And the powers of Satan is many times harder to fight against than it was in any age. Of course, but when a man, that is why God promised us his Holy Spirit to be an overcomer. God knows that the devil is going to display more wickedness and all evils with so much. Power of sin will be harder to fight, but he came around and he gave us the power of the Holy Spirit. Power for service. Power to live an holy life. Power for prayer. Power to represent God. That's the Holy Spirit. Power. And is the master of our spirit. Here, back there in early ages, a Christian could, for his profession of belonging to Christ, could be beheaded for it. They will kill him and say, you're a Christian, cut off his head, feed him to crocodiles, feed him to foxes, feed him to wolves, feed him to lions, feed him to tiger. Wild animal. Sometimes they rip the women with pregnancy, they rip their pregnancy and bring out the heartless human being, serpent. A fellow human being like you. You have a fowl in the house, you want to kill it. Yesterday evening, I was to buy some meat for the family. When I was going out, my wife told me. So when I came out, I forgot it. So when I got in, she said, well, maybe I can take one of the fowls there. I said, I've not determined which one to kill. I went there. They are there for me to kill. I can just go there and kill. I just fair. Look, out of the two, sometimes in America, I say, the one that I'm going to kill does not know that he's going to die that day. So sometimes I feel one kind. Now talk about human being. Human being that have eyes like you. And most times when we are killing those people will be begging them. Will be begging them, please, don't kill me, please. And they are so hardened at it. Devil dwelling in their souls. No wonder God is going to judge the wicked without mercy. No wonder the time of mercy has aborted this program. That the time of grace, the time of mercy, will soon lapse. Once it lapses, it's judgment time. And during judgment time, there's no mercy. As he has laid the program down. Go and read Revelation. You will see those things there. And the summer book. Could be beheaded, he could be beheaded for it. He could be killed. Not because they have done evil. You know, Peter tells us that if you have done evil and you are punished for it, then you accept it with joy. That is the punishment for your sin that is meted out to you. But where you have not done anything that is wrong, and you have victimized, you have vilified, you have beaten, or they want to kill you for it, it's like taking with joy, rather. Not the other one. Said, that's the reward of your wickedness. But this other one, where you have not offended, you have not done anything wrong, and they want to kill you or punish you for standing for righteousness, it's like taking with joy. He said, that's how they are done with the prophets of old, who stood for God. He could be killed and be put out of his misery and go to meet God quickly. But now the enemy has come in, the name of the John, and he's so deceiving. This is why. Alright? This is the great age of deception. When Christ says so, the two spirits will be so close in the last day till it will deceive the very elected, if it was called to. See? Remember, Christ spoke of an elected people for the last day. It will deceive the very elected if it were possible. But it's not possible. So close. The people so live. People can live a clean, holy life, not be sinful. Adultery, not be adulterers, not be drinkers, not be liars, not be gamblers, not gamblers. They can live above that and still not with it. And still not with it. That is the age of life. This is the age of life, personal life of Christ, where the chemical of his blood what was in him. First, under justification, the water baptism. Second, under the new birth of Wesley, sanctification which cleanses. And thirdly, under the baptism of the Holy Spirit, putting that sanctified vessel into service. See, the word sanctified means it is a Greek, compound Greek word, which means cleanse and set aside for service. Set aside for service. Now the Holy Spirit puts it in service. See? And well, we notice when the unclean spirit is gone from a man, all right, and that is when the man is sanctified. The prophet told us that when he sanctified, that desire is taken from him. That snake goes. The demon, the evil spirit is cleansed. They are cast out of him. But his Adamic nature is still there. A sanctified man is unconverted. Only that is sort of a little take. Because the blood has sanctified him, that evil spirit and the rest of it that makes him to do those things, they've gone. But his nature is still simple. It's not converted. It's not yet filled with the Holy Spirit. You see? That is why it's possible for those evil spirits to come back. Once a man is filled with the Holy Spirit, those things are burnt out of him. Not that they are cast out. The fire comes and burns those things out of him, and God takes his abode and sits there. No, the greater man is not in that house that will repair any incursion of the enemy, any invader that wants to come from outside. Praise be to God. So when the unclean spirit, is that the last bed? That's all right. God bless you. By the grace of God, God's praying that we will continue. Bless Father and our heads.
I've listened and we are grateful to you again this morning for giving us another opportunity to come to your house. I sit at your feet and learn more of your word about your program concerning us, your children. We cannot thank you for sparing our lives to see today without appreciating you seeing us through last week, those who traveled, journey messages. Provisions for me, for us, your protection, your care. We are very grateful, Lord. Lord Jesus, we have just gone through telling your word, no matter how short the time was. It is your word about your program concerning us, O God. Lord Jesus, in the course of the teaching, O God, those of us in the stage of justification, we know ourselves. Those of us in the stage of sanctification, we know ourselves. Those that have received the Holy Ghost desiring more of it, we also know ourselves. Whichever stage we find ourselves, O God, we are looking unto you for the next stage of more of your spirit. Don't pass any of us by, Lord. Meet us at the point of our knees. Thank you, righteous Father. Blessed be thy holy name. Once again, we appreciate you for the service that you have passed through to teach us. Lord, may you replenish it for the virtue that has left it. We remember the old missions of the world that are gathered around the message of our day today. Lord Jesus, may you make it each and every one of us at the point of our hands, Lord. Let it be at the end of the services of the day. We all have testimonies of the blessings and the goodness of the Lord. Thank you, Father. Blessed be thy holy name. Jesus, most wonderful name, we pray. Amen.